Massage.
Massage.
Do you like a foot massage?
I love a foot massage.
Yeah, there you go.
Do you not?
No, I hate feet.
Just put you in a fucking bubble. Hello and welcome to another episode of Finding Mr. Height, the podcast. I'm Allie, back with my co-host Rourke. Rourke, happy future Valentine's Day, because when people hear this, it will be Valentine's Day.
Yes, I love it. I feel like it's so fortunate and on brand that we are coming out on Valentine's Day, and it'll be our 52nd. It's such kismet. It's Valentine's Day. It's our 1 year anniversary. It's all of it.
Yeah. Although, help me understand this. So I was looking back at our first episode aired on February 22nd.
Yes.
So we are not technically to our 1 year anniversary yet, and yet we are doing our 52nd episode.
I think it's, do you remember learning this in math, fence post error?
Yeah. Okay. Because it's, yeah, because it's, yes.
So technically it's maybe not our 1 year. So I'm the liar here, but.
But it's 52 weeks. That's a lot of, that's, yeah.
Yeah. Close enough. Big.
Because basically our first episode is like zero.
Right.
It's the fence post. Yeah.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. So, yeah, congrats to us. Love.
Hope everybody love, wanted love. A math lesson.
That's what they come here for.
We do love love.
So, okay. I feel like some of our updates kind of dovetail in that. Do you want to, because I want to talk about your Thursday app event.
Yes.
But I also want to, obviously we have to talk about the rower. And then I also want to talk about the Thursday app event in conjunction with sort of like meeting people IRL, putting yourself out there, and like, so which, where do you want to start?
Let's get the rower out of the way.
Okay. That's good.
Because then we can just, we can talk about him, we can hold his funeral, and then we move forward.
Great.
And apologies to the patrons, because you're going to hear this again, although maybe with some new information, because I honestly, even though it was only yesterday, I can't remember what I said. Yeah. And a plug that patrons heard the update on the rower like the day after it happened.
Yes, which is also probably approximately 10 days before you are hearing this podcast right now.
So I, as everybody knows, I had been promising myself that I would honor how I was feeling about mm-hmm. the rower, and kind of notice, watch the movie, as we were saying last week, notice how I'm feeling. Am I feeling sad? Is this occupying brain space in a negative way on a consistent basis? And it, up until last week, it hadn't been.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, I had ups and downs of, you know, days where I felt better about it than other days. But largely speaking, it was much more positive than negative.
Yeah.
And in the last week, it became largely negative. And we talked about this on the Patreon. Like, I don't know why.
What shift were you perceiving, if any?
I wasn't.
That's so interesting.
I know. I wonder if I, like, had some sort of dream that I don't remember that, like, launched me into this different brain space. Because truly, Rourke, I woke up on Wednesday of this week and just felt bad about it.
That's so weird. I mean, in a way, it's a good example of listening to your gut,
mm-hmm.
right? Where I definitely have woken up feeling bad about people I was dating and told myself, you know, it's lack of sleep. I'm, this is fine. And if I had just listened to those signals, I think I probably would have made different choices.
Yeah. My gut was saying I was sad. We don't know why. I woke up. I got the best sleep I've gotten in a very long time on Tuesday night. I woke up. I was feeling great. And then something shifted and I was on the brink of tears and actually crying all day on Wednesday.
That's intense.
It was really intense. And it was, I think it was my gut being like, danger, like, this is bad, you are feeling bad, etc.
Yeah.
So I didn't say anything to him that day. I wanted to move through that in super intense feeling. I didn't want to have a conversation while I was, you know, triggered, I guess, in that way.
Like super elevated.
Right. So I waited until Thursday. I still felt it, not as intensely. Like, by Thursday, I wasn't like struggling to not cry. And I ended up texting him on Thursday evening, and we had been like going back and forth bantering about something earlier in the day. And so I texted him and I said, I need to put our sarcasm aside for a second. I have not been feeling good about where we're at recently, and I'd like to talk about that when you have a second.
There you go.
And he said he wrote back and said, I totally understand. Happy to chat. And so we set up a phone call for Friday night after work. And it was a really good conversation, but it ended in us ending.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he actually led the conversation from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Like I could tell that he was going through it in his voice.
What do you mean by that? What does it mean for him to be going through it?
That he felt really bad about making me feel bad.
Gotcha.
And not that he was playing the victim at all, but just I could tell that like his voice was racked with emotion.
Mm-hmm.
Is what I mean.
Yeah.
And so he called me because his day was over later than mine. And I asked him how he was, and he said, okay. And I said, just okay. And he said, yeah, you know, I know why you've been feeling this way.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it's because of me. And I truly feel really sorry that I have made you feel this way. And I said, tell me more about that. And so then he did. He said, you know, I have realized over the last couple of weeks that I am not as ready for a relationship as I thought I was.
Mm-hmm.
It is definitely what I want, but I'm not ready for one.
Right.
And he said, and I've been feeling this way over the last couple of weeks and trying to wrap my head around it. And I am really sorry that you had to push me to talk about it.
Yeah, because I was going to ask if – did you confirm – so the way I'm thinking about this a little bit is how when I'm just a very self-critical person. And so when I go into performance reviews at work, I will often say, I know what you're going to say. Here's all the stuff I have to work on. Here's what's not going well. Like, am I right? And part of that, so did you then confirm for him, yeah, you did do that to me? Or did you say, or like, how did you react? Did you confirm or deny his suspicions?
I said, I really appreciate that because this has felt really shitty for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I also said to him, I don't think that you were misleading me. Okay. Like, I know, I was like, I want to be clear. Like, I know that you were not intentionally misleading me. I think like that was, I thought that was important to say to him, that I'm not mm-hmm. like, I don't think he did anything terribly wrong. Like, could he have been more open and transparent? Like the minute he started to feel that way? Sure.
Right.
But like in the explicit conversations that we've had about it, he was as upfront and honest as he could have possibly been.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, I did confirm for him. Yes, you are correct. That is the way that I've been feeling. I agree. I wish you had been a little bit more upfront. Also, we're talking about like a 2-week time period. You know, like it's not the end. Like it wasn't like this massive, you know, betrayal.
Right. And you had started opening yourself up to others. There was movement on your end as well. And so, yeah.
Yeah. So I did acknowledge. I said, I really appreciate the apology, you know. And yeah, this felt really shitty. And this continues to feel shitty because – I know that we have a really strong connection, and mm-hmm. I know that there is, you know, something here if you were ready for that. And yeah. He agreed. He said, yeah, this is really hard for me too. And he also said, I forget exactly how he phrased it, but basically he acknowledged that like it's harder for me than it is for him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because both things can exist, right? Like it can be it can be hard for him while being shittier even for me.
Totally.
And so he did acknowledge that, but he said, yeah, this is really hard for me too because I want a relationship. Mm-hmm. I want to find my person. I want marriage. I want a family. Also feel such a strong connection with you. And he like listed off all the things that are amazing about me, which was nice to hear. I felt such a strong connection with you, and I can see that with you, and I don't know why I don't feel ready for it. mm-hmm. but I know that I don't.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's, I mean, he said it's super frustrating.
Yeah.
And I said, yeah, for me too, bro.
Yeah, totally. Exactly. Yeah. And I said this to you before. I confirmed the memory that I had that he had done therapy in the past, and we yeah. agreed that I hope he reengages in that.
I think he will based on the tenor of the conversation.
That's good. That's good. Obviously, I'm very sorry that things panned out this way, right? You know.
Yes. Thank you. Me too.
Yeah, of course. Like, when things don't go the way we want romantically, it fucking sucks. And also, I'm glad that, because I know that when we were texting about the fact that you had this call upcoming, I unhelpfully provided the idea that he might not give you clarity, and that would be a very scary thing if I was in your shoes. And so at the least, I'm glad that he gave you clarity at this juncture.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And I still, like, I think that if I hadn't have done this week, I would have entered territory where I would have regretted my actions.
Mm-hmm.
Just because of my own. That's kind of
like what Jeff was talking about, right? Where your feelings would have been making you behave in a way that you did not like, that you were changing really your behavior based on these negative feelings.
Yeah, really good point, for sure. But having done it at this juncture, based on the information that I had throughout the 3 months that I've known him, I would have made the exact same decisions.
Yeah.
And I'm happy with every decision I made, given the information that I had at that time.
Totally fair. And this is where mileage may differ on an individual level here. And because I know for me, I said this in the past, that I prefer to be black and white, even if it means like missing out on something that might have been good. And so, for example, like, I probably would have ended it on New Year's Day just because I couldn't live in the discomfort of the gray area. Mm-hmm. And that it's a risk tolerance question. And it sounds like you were talking about that on your live today, where like my emotional risk tolerance for that, I feel safer with firm boundaries of like, yes, we are, or no, we're not. I don't do well with maybe. And so like that for me is what I would have done, but that doesn't mean it's right for you.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's totally valid for you. And I appreciate that you recognize, I obviously know that you do, but like the difference between something being right for somebody versus another. This is one of the battles that I've been fighting in my TikTok comments that I honestly walked away from recently. Good. And by recently, I mean like 10 minutes ago.
Oh, okay. So very recent.
Very, well, it's because it's comments on the video I just posted.
So. Yeah. No, I get it. I get it.
But is that the comments that I don't appreciate and I don't find helpful, and this – people say this to people in person too, are you should have done X.
Mm-hmm.
Like after that conversation on New Year's, you should have run. You should have ended things.
Yeah.
Something that would be totally valid would be – I think I probably would have ended things. I'm putting that in quotes. Like a comment like you right now saying that probably wouldn't have worked for me. Like I probably would have wanted to end things on New Year's. Sounds like you're cool with your decision though.
Yeah.
Versus like you should have done this, and like the implied judgment there.
Yeah.
Is something that I don't appreciate. Not just about this video and not just on TikTok.
Totally. Good blanket policy.
Yes, exactly. Unsolicited advice in general with that layer of judgment on it.
Yeah.
So now we continue to move forward. Not that we weren't already, because as you mentioned, I've been, you know, swiping and my matchmaker starting back up. And
yeah, I'm very excited about that.
I am too. She technically started working for me again on February 1st, but like that's when she begins the reach outs.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a little bit of like runway. Although she did say that she had been talking to a few people right before I told her I wanted to pause. Whether or not those people are still interested and available, not sure
yet. Open question.
Because that was like 2 months ago.
Yeah. Well, great.
Yeah. So, and then, the other thing I did want to mention, because people have been asking this a lot, is would I be open to revisiting things with him if he were to, and you asked me this too on the Patreon, like if he were to come calling. And the answer is yes,
mm-hmm.
but I'm purposefully not really spending much brain space on that because, right, it's like that's a future me problem. And I don't want to spend too much time thinking about how I would handle a hypothetical situation that may or may not come to be.
Yes.
So like if he
hey, we can strategize that on the podcast when it comes to Bear.
Right. Like if he reaches out, then I'll decide what I want to do. Totally. But I didn't tell him anything either way. I didn't say don't. I didn't say do. Like we didn't discuss the future.
Yeah. I like that. I think I like that.
Yeah, me too. So tell me more about Dallas dating. What's going on?
So we, myself, Amy, her friend Sarah, and then a friend of Sarah's named Vicky all went out last night and it was very fun. We went to a couple different places. There was one place where I felt a little – so we've been using Bumble to sort of source recommendations from men.
Mm, that's a good idea.
And the first place we went we thought was going to be more of a chill cocktail bar where we could like sit – and talk like that would be sort of a good starting point where we could decide what we wanted our night to look like. It was so fucking loud and
oh
my God, it was popping and I was not emotionally prepared. And also I got this drink that no ingredient suggested that this was going to be the situation. The external of the glass had been sort of as if somebody had taken powdered sugar and gone, and so it was like splattered with powdered sugar,
what?
Which the drink didn't need sugar. And so I just sort of like thumbed it away and drank from this one little corner the whole time. And also I was wearing a black jacket. And so it looked like I'd been
snorting in the bathroom.
Lines, and it was all over my, it was so fuck. I was like, I have to get rid of this glass. This is absolutely insane. But when I was putting the glass down, I was sort of mumbling to myself and this guy said hello and he was with a girl. I believe that they're just friends from home now based on how he is texting me, but this is not a guy that I want to date.
But maybe he can introduce you to guys you want to date.
100%. And so I keep trying to pivot to group, to ideas of group. Because he texted me and he was like, we should all meet up sometime, because he was with a big group. Oh. And so I'm like, yes, we all should. Anyway, he sends me the only thing I want to talk about, the only reason I'm telling the story right now is because he sends me a story. He does not send me a story. He sends me a photo.
Oh, I was going.
Yeah. That was weird. He sends me a photo of a place where presumably he's at for brunch. And this is why I think he's trying to pivot in a dating direction. And he says, I got to take you here. And sends me a picture of like people dining at brunch. I don't know if you'll be able to see this. Do you see that man?
I do see that
man. On his phone.
I do.
Okay, so this guy has no idea that he's done this, but that's Ivan Hall. Do you remember Ivan from Bachelor in Paradise?
And no way!
Yeah. I was like, wait, are you with anyone in this photo? On this, like, or is this just background?
What did he say?
He goes, I came here alone. What's up?
That's amazing. Did you tell him that that guy is from The Bachelorette?
Yeah. I was like, okay, because the guy on his phone is Ivan Hall. Like, I'm pretty fucking sure. So first I'm like, who does this look like? And I'm like, it's pinging for The Bachelor. I think it's Ivan. I go to Ivan's Instagram. Ivan lives in Dallas. I'm like, oh, this is Ivan.
It's obviously him.
Yeah.
I love Ivan.
Me too. And he actually asked. He was like, oh, is that like one that like women really like? And And I was like, well, I don't know if his stock is dropping. He got kind of a bad edit on the most recent. I like go in on The Bachelor and he's like, cool.
So why – I have a couple questions. So one, yeah, the I gotta take you here thing, very datey.
Yeah.
Why though? Why does he gotta take you here? What a – was there anything
I think he was just saying like it's a great brunch spot.
He's reaching for like a reason to like if you liked this man in a dating capacity.
Oh yeah, I'd be like
about that. Text.
Yeah, let's go. Yeah.
Like we'd be like, good job, man. Like you like. There's no actual reason that you got to take me to this place except the fact that you want to go out with me.
Exactly. Yes.
So like, good on you for coming up with an opening to do that. But we don't want to date this man. So
yes, and also I do feel a little confused too because I very much thought he liked Sarah. And so did Amy and I both thought he liked Sarah.
That's actually this poses a good question about like IRL meeting. How did you end up? How are you the one with his phone number, or does everybody have his phone number? Like, how did that
both
work?
Both Sarah and I have his phone number.
How did that happen?
He had said – we were telling him how we were, like, trying out Dallas, like, da-da-da-da. And he said, like, well, we, like, gestured to the group. He's like, we'd, like, love to tell you, like, give you recommendations. Like, let me get your phone number, whatever. And then he was giving Sarah crap for – I guess they had been talking. And then – somebody else overheard that she was from New Jersey and started talking to her about New Jersey. So she pivoted to talk to him. And so this guy was sort of joshing her about, I'm trying to think of the right word, sort of like giving her, like giving her crap, I guess, like giving her a hard time for like ditching him to talk to somebody about New Jersey. So she was like, no, I promise. Like, I wasn't like disinterested. See, I'll give you, like, you can have my like number or something. It was something like that.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So that, like, that's how that set up. And then he and his friends left.
But how did you get his number?
Because he said, we have recommendations. Take my number and I'll send you some.
Oh, I see. Okay. Got it. And has he been texting with Sarah? Do we know?
This I don't know. Sarah is staying with her friend Vicky. Ah. So we have not assessed.
Got it. Okay. Well, hopefully you can get some group hang out of this.
Yeah. No, I'd be down for a group hang.
Yeah.
I think that what I want to take back to LA out of this experience is it's a good, like, being on vacation, you tell yourself there are no stakes because you're never going to see these people again, right?
Very true.
The reality is that's true all the time, frankly.
Correct.
And so, like, I don't know why I am so worried about how someone's going to perceive me coming up and saying hello. You know, what am I so afraid of? They then go back to their friends and be like, oh, this like weird girl came and said hi to me. Fine. I can live with that.
Zero risk.
Yeah. So I just want to like care less. Like it's fine. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And all of it went out. I think we got like across the four of us. Vicky's married, to be clear. Oh, she did bring over. So we were talking to these two guys. I was talking to one and he was very weird about the other guy's relationship status.
Oh.
And I was like, wait, is he married? And the guy talking to me goes, I don't know him that well. So I said to the other guy, I was like, excuse me, is this your good friend? And he goes, yeah, we're good friends. I was like, oh, so he might know your marital status? and then they're like, what?
That is so shifty.
Oh, yeah. This guy was for sure married. Anyway.
I really hope, I'm trying to give them the benefit of the doubt here, but I really hope that the reason that they were being shady about it was not because the married guy was trying to cheat on his wife, but rather because the single guy was trying to position his friend as a wingman.
Yeah, and that could be. Yes.
Because that has happened. Not that that's a good thing for the single guy to do, but it's a better situation than the married guy trying to cheat on his wife.
Totally.
But I have had guy friends like say that they will – I tell them not to do this, but that they will like present themselves as single or at least not confirm or deny when they're trying to wingman their friend. Because like if they're walking up to two women, the woman that they're about to talk to is like less likely probably to engage with them if they know that they're not a prospect.
Right. Right. Yes.
And so they're trying to not like
good
salt
logic,
their friend's game.
Fucked up execution.
Completely. Yes. Yeah, they're not wrong.
Yeah.
That is true. But it doesn't, it's not cool.
Yeah. But yeah, so this is good practice.
That is something that I am not good at is in-person meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Unless there's like a pre-constructed thing going on. Like I meet people through volleyball all the time. Like I feel very comfortable walking up to strangers at a volleyball tournament or like having little side conversations or small talk with people. But just out in a very free form environment, like a bar, I am not good at it.
Why do you think that, like, what is it about it?
I think it's the anxiety of it.
Yeah.
Of,
yeah. I mean,
you know,
that's obviously
perception, exactly what you said.
Yeah.
Which brings me to the Thursday dating app event because I think it had such potential. So to give people some background, Thursday is a dating app. It's only in New York City and London right now, but I imagine they're going to try to expand. The way that it works is the app is only active on Thursdays. So you, during the week, you tell it whether or not you're available on Thursday, and they host an in-person party at a bar every Thursday night. And if you have toggled your availability to be on, then
put you in the deck.
Yes. And then on Thursday, you're able to see the profiles of other people who've said they're available. It doesn't necessarily mean they're going to the event. Like, you could toggle it on but not go.
Of course, yeah.
And so then on Thursday, you can see
you're not people. Like, they don't round you up and like, get in there.
Well, you don't have to buy you don't have to buy a ticket. You don't have to have bought a ticket to say that you're available. Because the tickets are only $2, but you do have to buy a ticket in order, in theory, which we will get, which we will get to.
Oh.
So then on Thursday, yeah, that you're in the deck opens up. In you can pay for it and be able to see like everyone, but there was a limit on the number of people that I was able to kind of swipe through without paying. Although then I waited a little longer and got some more. So whatever. And then if you match with someone, that match will go away at midnight.
Whoa.
So like you have to – right. So you have to like exchange numbers, which I did with one guy, but then it kind of fizzled. Or say like, oh, we're both going to the event. Like let's, you know, hang out when we get there, whatever. The event's at a bar. The thing is – the sort of tickets thing is that if you buy a $2 ticket, $4 because Eventbrite charges, before 9 o'clock, you can get in without waiting by showing your dating app profile and the ticket.
Mm-hmm.
And then after 9, it's, you know, whatever. Anything goes. You'll have to wait in line.
Gotcha.
So a few friends and I decided to do that. We bought tickets. And we figured, like, if the event sucks, at least we're there with a friends. And it 100%. Was in the West Village. So there's tons of bars around. I don't necessarily love the bar that it was at. So we were like, oh, we can go somewhere else if it sucks. So we got there at, like, 8:30. They were not checking tickets or dating app profiles at the door.
Okay.
So the whole point of the event and the way that they market the event is that it's a party where you know everyone's single. And that was immediately not the case because they weren't checking a single thing at the door.
They need to work that out.
Yes. And I don't know. I'm going to go to another one at some point. I'm not free this Thursday, but I'm going to go to another one at some point because I don't know if that's always the case or if there was just a malfunction on this particular evening.
Yeah.
I feel like people would be calling this out if it was something that happened every single time.
Yeah. I want. Yeah. How odd.
It's literally the entire premise of the event. Yeah. It's the whole point.
You had one job.
One job is to make sure that the people in the bar are single. Or, I mean, I guess they could be lying. But make sure that the people in the bar have your app and bought a ticket to this event. And they couldn't even do that.
Incredible.
And so the bar was packed.
Ooh.
But like – it was – first of all, it was like too packed.
Oh.
But secondly, there was no way of knowing whether the other people were there for this thing. So the barrier to walking up to somebody that is lowered by knowing that they are also there to meet single people was gone.
Right.
The whole idea is like, oh, like the stakes – to your point, the stakes are always quite low. But the stakes are even lower – at this event because everybody who's here has come to the event to meet people.
Mm-hmm.
So that construct is already there. They ruined it by not checking anything at the door.
Absurd.
Yeah. And in addition to that, there wasn't really anybody in the crowd that any of us really even wanted to go on that limb for.
Mm-hmm.
So it was sort of a double whammy. But I don't know if that bar's crowd just sucks and those people were there on Thursdays.
Or if the dating app crowd sucks.
Right. I have no idea. So I'm going to go to another one. I'm going to gather more data.
Love it.
But
investigative journalism happening right here.
Yes. But that – it wasn't good.
I'm sorry. That's a disappointment.
Agreed. But I would like to be better at in-person meeting.
Yeah. I mean, this is good. This feels like good training wheels for me, especially because I think that also, to be fair, we got out of practice in the past 2 years.
So true.
Like we all got to get our sea legs a little bit again.
Yes, that's very true. I was thinking about that last night. I went to a friend's birthday party. It was the environment of the bar very much lent itself to talking to people. Everybody was kind of milling around. There were games and stuff. And honestly, I mean, I also didn't really see anybody that I really wanted to go up and talk to. But I was also thinking, my friend lives in Queens, and thus his birthday party was in Queens. And it took me and my friend like an hour and 20 minutes to get there.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's a trek for you.
Yeah. And most people that live in this area, like, or that go out in this area, like, they live there. Because
yeah,
it is,
so it's not a desirable population for you.
Yeah. Like, it's not convenient to get to this, to get to Astoria if you don't live in Astoria. And so, yeah, I had that thought. I'm like, most of the guys here probably live in this area, meaning I am entering a long-distance relationship if I talk to anyone.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's so, and again, it's not like I saw somebody and thought like, ooh, I want to go talk to him, but I'm not going to because he lives in Queens. Like, that's not what happened.
Yeah.
But I did have that thought. But on that note, so I, speaking of like people who just like seem better at things, mm-hmm. at like that. So I had, well, I had lunch. She didn't. I had tea. She had a latte. Whatever. I met up with.
Let's nail this down. What were the orders? Get the receipt.
Wait, that's funny you say that because we accidentally dined and dashed.
Oh my God, you thieves.
She went back.
Oh, thank God.
So I met up with Jillian Richardson is a coach that I have met on Instagram, and we like messaged a lot, and she lives really close to me. And so, and she also is a listener and a patron actually. So she
amazing.
Hi, Jillian. She is very like, she previously before the pandemic ran in-person events literally with the purpose of people like making community. But I could also just tell that she's really good at it. Like the way that she was engaging with the people in the space that we were in. Mm-hmm. So I want to try to channel people like her. I do have one last update that I want to give. It's quick.
Okay.
Do you have a white whale on dating apps?
What do you mean?
Are you familiar with the term white whale?
Yes. I get the literary reference, but like, what would that mean in the context of dating apps?
Somebody that you see all the time that you always swipe right on or like say
oh,
yes
that's
to
so funny.
And
no,
have
I do
never
not.
Matched with. Okay. No. I do. I do. I have a white whale. I have been seeing him off and on specifically Bumble for years.
That's hilarious. Years.
We also have some mutual friends. Like I also just know who he is, and I'm not going to give more detail on this, but like we've never met, but I know of him.
Gotcha.
And I've seen him. He's so hot. He's really tall. I've seen him. Honestly, we've lived in New York for like the same amount of time. I've seen him hundreds of times. That's an exaggeration. Whatever. I've seen him a lot. Yeah. I swipe right every time. We've never matched. We matched on Thursday.
Oh my God. Have you been talking?
Yes, but the conversation has recently fizzled.
Fuck.
I know. And I'm like, I literally am like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm messaging with him.
Oh, God,
I've like
we gotta
built
get
him up in my mind because I've just seen him so often, and I've always thought he was so hot, and like I've swiped right every single time, and he finally liked me. Like that's like literally how I feel.
That's so funny. I hope it restarts.
I know. I hope so too. So that's my last little update.
That's amazing.
So I just got back from Costa Rica, and I decided to just fully lean into my curls while I was there, and was so happy that I had all of my Pros hair care customized specifically for my hair to take with me.
Oh, that's the best. You need it, especially if you're going to be in those super humid places.
Exactly. And I recently actually started trying their curl cream, which I hadn't used before. I've used their shampoo, their conditioner, their dry shampoo. The curl cream is legit.
Yeah, I like all their stuff. Their dry shampoo is one of my favorites. And I was a little intimidated when I first used it because it was like a powder in my hands. Much better than a lot of the like spray can ones I've tried elsewhere. So it's my go-to for my dry shampoo for sure.
Yeah, it was just really great to not have to worry about my hair. Like it sounds so silly, but it's a good relief.
No, but especially anyone who has travel coming up, we've all been there. You try to bring a hair dryer and it doesn't work. And it's like when you're in the heat, trying to dry your hair with heat is a nightmare. Everybody knows that. So it could be worth it to go to Pros and check out what do they have for your natural hairstyle to help your hair dry naturally even better.
Yeah, and Pros is so confident that you're going to bring out your best hair and skin that they're offering an exclusive trial offer of 50% off your first subscription order, 50, at pros.com/FMH.
So you get your free consultation and then 50% off at pros.com/FMH. That's PROSE.com/FMH.
I don't know about you, Erica, but I have always been a PMS girly.
like that week before I get my period, even though I don't actually get a period anymore because of my IUD, the week when I would get it, I have always had just hormones all over the place, cravings, it's cramps, just all sorts of stuff. And it's been so much easier to manage my PMS with Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth.
So one thing I really like about this company is so many health studies they don't reveal has only been done on men. So I love a company that is actually making products not only designed for women, but is also testing them with women. Makes a huge, huge difference. Taking the Hormone Harmony isn't just for like menopause. I feel like we hear hormones and people think like, oh, that's not for me. But it can work for all of us at any age. Whether you do still have those night sweats, right? You don't have to have menopause to be hot at night. All right. That's your girl all the time. Racing thoughts and low moods, maybe poor sleep and feeling tired all the time, or the occasional bloating or gas. Hormone Harmony can help you with all of these things.
Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. And the beauty of those is they help the body adapt to any stressors, like those chaotic hormonal change that we're talking about, or any of those issues that you mentioned. The biggest benefit is just feeling like myself all the time and not having these like ups and downs.
If you're interested in getting something like this into your routine, you should definitely check them out. And we have a limited time deal for you. You can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com and just use the code FMH at checkout.
So I've talked a little bit on the pod about how I've been trying to extend my damp January into future months. And I have really been enjoying Recess Mocktails as a way to have what feels like a fancy drink at home, but without the alcohol.
Yeah. And also it's nice to have something in your fridge that just has a little bit of flavor.
Totally.
And they're delicious. They're made with real fruit, sweetened with agave, and again, 0% alcohol. So just a nice little flavorful drink that is a little play on our favorites here. They got a bunch of great flavors.
My personal favorite is the Recess Watermelon Mojito. I actually like to garnish it like it's a actual cocktail. Like I put it in a coupe glass, feeling all fancy, garnish it with a little sprig of mint. It is delicious.
And my favorite is the Recess Ginger Lime Mule. I'm a ginger gal. And what I love also, not too sweet. Perfect amount of just a little sweet treat.
They're absolutely delicious. And you can get 15% off Recess Mocktails now at takearecess.com/FMH. So you can enjoy your favorite cocktails without the consequences. All right. Should we do weird or not before we dive into love languages?
Yeah. Let's the love cast.
The love cast?
Yeah. That's our episode. It's a love cast, not a podcast.
Oh, I was confused. I was like, what are we talking about? Okay. So this week's weird or not is their dating app profile says that their love language is physical touch.
I think this is not weird at all. Like, that's just one of them. Like, that's like demonizing. Like, I can't do that. That seems so unfair. What would be weird about it, do you think?
I think that sometimes that answer or like that on somebody's profile can come across as creepy.
Oh, interesting. So I guess then it's the surrounding words that matter, but the fact that they've declared their love language is physical touch is not in and of itself weird.
I think it also matters on whether, and some people brought this up, are they answering it as a part of the Hinge prompt that specifically asks for your love language, or are they just throwing it into their profile amongst, to your point, like other contexts that might be a little suggestive?
Right. Well, okay, sure. If it's in suggestive context, I change my answer. But even if it's in a Bumble verbiage profile where you're just saying things about yourself, like love dogs, da-da-da, love to travel, like love language physical. Like if you're just listing things, I'm fine with that. If it's the example of the weird one that we talk about where people are like sexualizing their third grade selves, where they're like, what would my teacher say about me? His language was physical touch. Like, oh, that's fucking weird.
People
okay?
need to stop using that prompt. If you're out there using the what would my third grade teacher say about me prompt, stop.
Yeah.
Stop right now.
So, sure. Yes, it can. Anything, though, can be weird, right? In that way.
Well, yeah.
If you want to, like, we can make it weird. We can sure as hell make it weird. But I think that this is not weird. And I think it's very not weird. So I'm going to say 1090.
No, it was 19, whatever that is. 1981. Yeah.
That's close.
Yeah. But not the weirdest, not the most normal one we've ever had.
Okay. I believe that. But still, I
think everyone to a person who thought it was weird said it was weird because they've seen it as I have so often in a way that just feels kind of icky.
Oh, that's interesting. See, I actually do. Who knows? I'm a sieve. Things pass my eyeballs and never stay. And so it is entirely possible that I've seen this many times and not registered it. I have never registered it. I have no memories of this.
Yeah, I have seen it often in ways where I can just kind of tell that the guy doesn't actually know anything about love languages and is just saying he wants to be touched.
Got it. Okay.
But I agree with you that physical touch as a love language in concept is not weird.
Yeah.
None of them are weird. But we're going to get into that.
Excellent. Well, perfect. We have a themed weird or nah for our topic talk.
Yes.
Love to see it.
So first, we should probably tell people what love languages are.
Yes, as we do. We got to start at the beginning with our lovely pastor, Gary Chapman.
And this is the part where we make a massive disclaimer that actually a few people that answered the weird or nah mentioned this. Not about like whether or not the guy was being weird for saying it, but just mentioned that the guy that coined the love languages thing, we don't stand this man.
Like, I don't know this man. He's religious and it has like this book was written for Christian marriage counseling, but I don't know this man. I don't necessarily want to cast aspersions.
Oh, he has some problematic stuff going on that we don't need to get into right now.
Okay. I've not read anything about it beyond the fact that I know he's religious, and I don't want to inherently say because somebody is religious, it's like wrong.
No, that's not what I'm saying at all. Okay, this man in particular is not somebody that I support.
Gotcha.
But regardless of that, like, I think that love languages has become much larger than his initial.
Oh, for sure. The meme-ness, like all of it's a situation where I heard this before about one hit. This is how you can define a one hit wonder, which is where the popularity of the song outstrips the artist. And I think that's like a great way to think about it. And the popularity of love languages has far outstripped the author.
Oh, yes. And I also I think that like it now is, it's not even like capital L love languages in the way that like a theory would be capitalized. It's like so, I think, a part of the dating zeitgeist at this point.
Totally.
And I also think before we get into defining it too, that it's important to note, similar to when we talked about attachment styles, that like any one thing is not the end all be all. Like, you know, if you are physical touch, that like that's the thing that defines you, or that, you know, like this is just like one aspect of how one might describe oneself and, you know, ways to show love.
Totally. I think that, so I was reading up on this where so like Lori Gottman from the Gottman Institute, and love the Gottmans, an inspiration, and Esther Perel, like all these people have spoken about love languages and the theory as a whole. And Esther Perel was saying some stuff that I really agreed with, where she was saying like,
love her too, also dream guest.
Oh my god, truly she would, I think, big time us. But she,
it's one of the main reasons why I suggested that we create a media kit, is to slide into Esther Perel's DMs.
Totally. So she was saying how all love language, and like I joke, like to date me, you've got to be fluent in all five languages. Sorry. Like that's what it's going to fucking take. And so she was saying how like quality time, these are relationship baselines.
Yes.
And yeah. And that like, you, and so like, don't forget, like, I sort of want to think about this as like almost like a person, just a fun, silly personality test that you can talk about. Because like, for example, like they're going to be where it's like, if I'm going through a hard time, let's say gifts was my top one. It's not. A gift's not going to cut it if I'm going through X, right? And so it's like, things ebb and flow. Like, this is just like messy and like, we're just having fun with it. Like, move on.
Yeah, 100%. I think this is just one of many ways that you could define oneself, similar to how, like, if you say you're an ENTP, or, you know, if you talk about, like, you know, like, that's Myers-Briggs, or if you talk about the Enneagram, or just fun things to get to know yourself a little bit better.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe learn to express love in other ways too, because to your point, I think most of the love languages at some level are baseline, but we're definitely not as good at some of them versus others, depending on our personalities and who we are.
Totally. All righty. Should we just go through each one and sort of talk about their characteristics?
Yeah.
Let's start with like how do you define, and have you talked about it with partners before?
Have I talked about love languages with partners before?
So what is yours? Have you talked about yours with partners, and like, do you know what theirs are?
Oh, got it. Okay. So I am, words of affirmation and receiving gifts are my two mm-hmm. highest, although physical touch is usually in the mix. Mm-hmm. Quality time and acts of service are like so far off the radar that it's like, they're not even close.
So, but I want to talk about the intersection of acts of service and gifts, because think it is very odd to have those being high and low.
Yes, we'll get into that.
Because I think there is such a Venn diagram.
There definitely is, but I think in all of the quizzes that I've taken, at least, like, there are, we'll get into it. But I think that, like, the way that the questions pose it is one versus the other, when you could make an argument for a question that is a quote-unquote receiving gifts attributed question mm-hmm. that is actually acts of service and vice versa.
Gotcha.
I have always talked about – since love languages came to be in my psyche, I have talked to every single partner about them.
Oh, wow. That's so interesting.
Because I think the reason is because gifts is not something that I think a lot of people think about on a day-to-day basis. Like, people think about receiving gifts as like, and we'll get into this later, but people think about receiving gifts as like Christmas or your birthday or like, you know, big gifts. And I think that I like receiving gifts all the time in a very like low level way. And that's something that I often want to talk to partners about.
Gotcha. So. And then do they offer theirs, and have you learned what like theirs are?
Yeah. So this is why I think that the physical touch thing on dating app profiles often like makes me chuckle, is because most guys say that theirs is physical touch in my experience.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just not true. Like, that 100% of men, would be physical touch.
So that's why I actually think the religious origin is a little interesting, because physical touch has never been supposed to include sex.
Yeah, very true.
And so I think if a man understood, remove sex, they'd be like, I have a different answer.
Well, right. But that's why, like, I don't think they get it. Like, the people that are answering that. Yeah. No, because you're right. It's like literal touching someone else, literally touching someone else.
Because the reason I ask, though, like, have you asked what theirs are, is because – so another thing that I was reading is that love languages have become very, like, self-focused. And the point of the book was actually to learn about how you can be better for your partner. And so, like, right now we're – like we're gonna define them using a Psychology Today article that we can definitely post, but they are all framed in what you do for your partner, not like, what does my partner do for me?
Right.
And so I do think it's interesting, like, the idea would be, how can I kind of mold myself a little bit to make sure you feel supported and loved in various moments, or like what you feel you need now. And so I think also, like, so much of love languages too, just as a good reminder to be an active listener and talk to your partner about what would feel good to them in X moment.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the reasons why I've talked about it with every partner that I've had since I learned about love languages, is for that reason, because I want to understand what can I do to show you love better. And also I want to help you understand what you can do for me.
Yeah. Ask not what you can do for your country. Ask what you can do for Allie.
Yeah, always. Please always ask what you can do for Allie.
Okay. So let's start with gifts then. There's like a little bit of a – I like this article because it's a little bit of like quick and dirty at the top. So gifts. Yeah. Giving your partner gifts that tell them you were thinking about them. Does that resonate with you?
Yes, absolutely. Specifically that tell them you were thinking about them part. I think that's the part of receiving gifts that people often don't think about, or they just like – they end it at giving your partner gifts. And they think that like – I just want expensive stuff.
Right.
And that receiving gifts is like materialistic.
No, you do fine with a single carnation. You were sustained for a fucking month.
I want literally this carnation. I bet you it would still be alive if I had tried.
I think so too.
I bet it would be, given all the chemicals they probably had in that thing.
Yeah.
But yes, I was sustained by a single carnation for a month.
Yeah. Hysterical. Okay, lovely. And then your second one was words of affirmation.
Words of affirmation, which this describes as saying supportive things to your partner.
I do love that these kind of are self-defining, right?
Right. Like, so when you say the words out loud, you're like, oh yeah, okay. Words of affirmation. It means supportive words.
Yeah. supportive this speech. One actually is a little bit more helpful. The example the article gives on this one is your partner congratulates you, tells you great job, tells you that you look attractive, or thanks you for something. Those are – and then – the example for gifts is you get a gift. You get a gift. Wait, okay, you don't really fucking say.
Example, you get a gift or a small treat from your partner that tells you he or she was thinking about you.
Which we just read as the definition of it. Like that, that's thank not you. It's not a good example. Anyway. Okay, great. What are some things that people have said to you that like make you feel like what when does that work for you?
I really like thoughtful words of affirmation. And so not just, you know, you're so hot, or like this particular one, great job, great job would not really do it for me. But like things like the thanking you for something. If somebody says like, you know, I don't know. Now I'm struggling to come up with an example. But if somebody says like, oh, like if I cook them dinner or something and they're like, thank you so much for that. That was so sweet of you. Like it was so thoughtful of you to do that.
Yeah.
Or, you know, that those kinds of things that indicate that they know you as a person and are complimenting you for something.
Yeah. I will say, I think that a simple great job can work, in that I would tell the classmate about something that was happening at work. And my friends don't, when I tell them I did something cool at work, they don't fucking know what it means.
They don't know. Yeah.
Exactly. And so for him to be like, that sounds awesome, you're going to be partner within a year. No, I'm not, but thank you. Like, you know, like he would just sort of like gas me up, and in a generic way, I suppose, because he didn't know or understand the specifics, but that totally does it for me. That was like, I thought that was really nice.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The generic stuff is not bad per se. But I think just, yeah, generally using your words, especially if you're not able to be together for some reason, like having those literal affirmations that, you know, I like you, I'm thinking about you, you're great.
Yeah, that's a good example of when like different love languages are required during different relationship situations.
Yeah. Like, and something that I really struggled with in my long distance relationship is that one of ASV's love language was quality time.
Mm-hmm.
And I literally, there's nothing we can do about that. I mean, we had like virtual dates, but like, it doesn't really feel the same.
Yeah.
And that was really, really hard to deal with. And he was really bad, that I shouldn't say he was really bad, but he struggled more with words of affirmation, which is extremely important in a long distance relationship where often all you have are your words.
Yeah, totally.
Your highest one is acts of service, right?
No, quality time.
Oh, quality time.
That's yeah, right. Quality time and acts are both top, but quality time for sure, especially because my time, and again, things change through the life course, I believe. And so I think it's becoming very apparent that quality time is just very important to me now because my time is so limited. Mm-hmm. And so for somebody to, it means a lot to me when friends in my life prioritize me and yeah. I prioritize them too. You know, we show each other that like, we both recognize that we're busy. And so we're going to carve out this time to go on a walk together, even if it means going like in the morning, you know, whatever, like we find that to me, like shows that you care.
Yeah. So question for you. So the definition of quality time, according to this, is spending meaningful time with your partner. What does meaningful mean to you?
I would say that meaningful is when, like, I actually think that can range. I would say meaning less meaningful time is in a group setting. Mm-hmm. So for example, actually there was, I can't remember why the classmate, one of us was, must have been traveling because we were supposed to reconvene in a group setting and it got canceled and we both were like, oh, thank God. We kind of just want to like have some, like, we just want to like be like alone together for a minute. And so I think though, I'm a big fan also though of like that can, it doesn't have to be directly engaged. I think you could be on the couch watching a movie together. That's meaningful time. I don't think you need to be engaged in a conversation or like actively listening to each other for it to be meaningful. But I don't think you, I would say groups less so, and then even less so is kind of like totally checked out from each other. For example, like so much, so something a friend expressed to me during with her husband during work, like now his job is permanently work from home and hers has always been, that in the beginning of it, when he had been going to work and he was now staying home, on like a Saturday, on Saturdays, he liked to go golfing. And she was saying to me, I'm having a hard time saying to him, we are together all week, and yet I'm not with you in a way that is quality. And yeah. So I miss you, even though we're together all the fucking time.
Yeah, it's so interesting.
Yeah. And so she was saying like, he like really needs this stress relief. I don't want to prevent him from having like that hobby. Like I love it. And sometimes I want him the fuck out of the house. So it's great. But I want to, you know, I want to say to him, like, how can we find us time that isn't just like this passive, we happen to be kind of these working roommates.
Right. Like in a co-working space.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, for me, not that I don't like to spend one-on-one time with my partner. Obviously, I do, or I wouldn't want to be dating them.
Again, but that's like, the baseline.
Yeah, baseline, exactly. Like Esther Perel said, the baseline is that you would like to spend one-on-one time with this human. Yeah. Otherwise, like, what are you doing?
Yeah, break
up. break up. Yeah, if you're listening to this and thinking, well, I really don't want to spend any one-on-one time with that person.
Break but up. No, wait. I don't want to overlook that joke has a – like, that is based in truth, right? Where, yes. Like – if you are viewing like quality time, FaceTiming somebody, telling them somebody a positive thing, if any of that feels like a chore, end it.
Well, I do think yes, in like a funny way, but I think that like some of these can feel like chores to people that aren't, like words of affirmation, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Words of affirmation can feel like a chore even if you really do love the person, and you have to just work at being better at like using your words because you're not a verbal person.
I don't mean that it doesn't come naturally. I don't mean that it doesn't take work. I mean, if it's that feeling in your gut of, oh fuck, I don't want to be saying this to this person.
Oh, well, yeah, that's different.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, but I think the reason that one of the reasons that quality time ranks so low for me is like I would love a group hang like all the time, and I know you do too, but like in terms of like I don't need that quality time as much, I don't think, if I'm seeing my partner even in a group setting a lot.
Yeah.
And I actually really like, and I know you do too, but I really like seeing my partner in groups.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And like seeing someone and like being like proud of him and being like, yeah, he's awesome. Like everyone loves him. And like, this is so fun. Like I like that a lot. And so not that I, again, not that I don't like spending one-on-one time, but so yeah, that's quality time.
I think, and this stuff obviously intersects with other aspects of your personality. I think I'm a little bit more introverted than you.
Yeah. Then we have what?
I was going to say, but acts of service also
doing helpful things for your partner.
Doing helpful things. And so what if doing a helpful thing is like giving them something physical that you might call a gift or a treat?
Yeah, I think that's where we kind of have this overlap. But like, I think of acts of service as I'll do the dishes for you, okay, or take out the trash, or, you know, I know you're out of toothpaste and I was at Walgreens, so I got it and brought it for you. Yes, mm-hmm. That's a gift technically, but yeah. I wouldn't categorize that as receiving gifts. I would categorize that as acts of service.
Got it. Because I view my like cooking for my friends as acts of service.
Yes. I think that is acts of service.
Great. Okay.
Yeah. And I like that too. Like as we said,
yeah,
everybody totally. Everybody has aspects.
Like how you cooked for New Year's Eve, like when you make fancy cocktails. Like I think that's a way that you show like, I like you, so I'm going to go to this little extra effort.
Agreed. Yeah. Agreed.
What was I going to say? Fell out of my head.
Well, what's interesting while you're thinking of that,
yeah,
I think that I show love via acts of service far more than I prefer to receive it that way.
Interesting.
I know that I show love via acts of service because mm-hmm. I am good at being helpful. Like I like planning things. I like making dinners. I like coordinating in ways that are helpful to other people.
Yeah.
I do not like that in return because I'm doing it.
Gotcha. See, that's why I like receiving it that way, because I'm like, thank you. One less thing I have to fucking think about.
But it like doesn't stress you out that that person might be doing it worse than you?
Well, I think that you have to release sort of the gatekeeping aspect of it, right? Where where like I will never forget something that the guy that I bring him up rarely, but he's the guy I did in New York. I call him the express train. He once, like, he noticed that a light bulb in my apartment was out. And so the next time he came over, he brought a light bulb and replaced it.
I would love that. That would be great.
It was so nice because it's like, great. Now I don't have to go to the hardware store or like order something fucking like and order 8 of them off Amazon because I can't get just one. Like, you know, it was just like really nice. And so that like that was lovely. Does he need
that
to plan
great.
Our trip to Belize? No, I got it.
I can't. Well, we're going to Belize because we have to meet the fans.
Oh, yeah. Wait. The reason I – that's hilarious. I forgot. The reason I said Belize is because Amy's going to Belize. So it's just like at top of mind. But yeah.
Is Amy, wait, we should can Amy have a meet and greet? Yeah. Amy needs to have a meet and greet on our behalf in Belize. I'll give you an example of when acts of service went wrong for me.
Okay.
It is actually the one that I gave just recently. So I think this was the dentist, but I don't remember now. I was out of toothpaste. And I was like, shit, like I forgot to go to the store or whatever. And I was just like venting out loud. And he bought me toothpaste, but not the kind that I use. So
was
he
it
had,
like close?
No, I didn't like it. I don't like green toothpaste.
Oh my God.
It wasn't a flavor I liked. I didn't tell him that, obviously.
I was going to say, do you know, like, did he know that you're very particular about your toothpaste?
No, definitely not. We've never spoken about toothpaste preferences.
Oh, okay.
So like, no, it wasn't his fault, but like that's an example of like, I know that I mean, I was very grateful and I expressed thanks and he did not know that it was in no way helpful to me. But like I used it that one time when he was there and then bought a new one that I liked. No, I didn't throw it away. I kept it for guests.
Oh, smart.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, that's an example of what I mean about wanting control over things.
That's fair. But what's funny is I feel that way about gifts. Because I'm like so particular, I'm like even with my mom, I'm like, please don't bother. I got it.
I just love gifts. But I think that like most people that give me gifts know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Like there's not like randos that are just giving me gifts. I guess I'm lucky that my family is really good at it.
Yeah.
My dad was very hit or miss, but besides him. But I think that's where gifts expands a little bit and starts to hinge on acts of service, because it's not always things that I'm going to keep or things mm-hmm. that I'm going to be using. Like an example of something that I considered a gift was that carnation. Or this is like probably a combination of words of affirmation and gifts, but I had the coach. I've talked about it before. So the coach lived with me for 3 months, something like that. And basically every single time – so he slept in later than me. I had to be at work earlier than him, and I was always home before him. Pretty much every single time I came home, there was a note on the bed with some sort of like little sweet nothing that he had left for me.
That's cute. My friend's husband like hides Post-its in her clothing when she packs to go somewhere, and like so she like discovers them.
Adorable. And sometimes yeah. it was just literally a heart written on a piece of paper. Like it wasn't always yeah. words, and it was never anything lengthy. It was just yeah. like a little thing that I got to like walk into and be happy about.
Yeah, no, that's very sweet.
Yeah, he was very sweet.
I read an article once when I was getting my hair cut, and so it was in a physical magazine. I have never been able to string together the proper search terms to find it. So if anyone else has read this, I would love to hear it and can find it for me, because I like want this article again. It was a great article about gift giving. Mm-hmm. And I wonder what you think of this. It's that this – so this woman was describing how she believes that there are two types of gift givers. People who give gifts with the image of the person they want the receiver to be. And then people who give gifts actually acknowledging the person they're giving the gift to. And so the example she gave is like, she's like, I give my sister books because I want my sister to be a reader. And she's just fucking not. And I keep trying to transform her into one. And she talked about how the best gift she ever got is from her husband, who it was like this giant box wrapped under the tree. And it was filled with fortune cookies. And it was because like one night at a Chinese restaurant, she said like she had always wanted to go to like a Chinese fortune cookie factory mm-hmm. and just like swim in like a vat of them or whatever. And so he like got her this like giant box of them, and she was like so thrilled. And I'm sure like not expensive.
No.
But she was like, it showed that he listened and like thought about like this funny little dream that I had. And I just like really, I think about that article like all the time.
That makes a lot of sense. And I'm like thinking about like different gifts that I've given or received. And that makes a lot of sense.
I'm realizing the one that we're now neglecting is physical touch.
Oh yeah. Well, that just seems obvious, but yes.
Being close to and caressed by your partner.
Oh my God, the word caressed.
The word caressed is so cringe.
The word caressed.
I hate it.
I don't want to be, please, oh my God, I'm physically recoiling. Please no one caress me.
Yeah. I will say I'm selective about physical touch. I really like being on a couch together and like some like having like the like somebody's legs up on somebody's lap or kind of like leaning. Like I really like that.
You're not a hand holder though, right?
Thank you. Nothing repulses me more than holding hands. I hate it.
I love it so much.
Oh my God. I get clammy. I lose, like when you do this, the interlocked fingers one.
Yeah.
I lose circulation in my fingers. I don't like it.
What kind of death grips are the people you're holding hands with?
It literally always happens. And so it's not, yeah, no, it's like not some freak that's like Hulk gripping my hand. I swear.
Don't know. I really like PDA.
Mm-hmm.
I really like physical touch in that way. I'm not trying to be gross about it in public, obviously, but like holding hands or like just being just generally entwined with somebody, I really like.
Yeah. I like a check-in, like a physical check-in. Like
a physical check-in.
Yeah. Like doing your thing and then kind of like bopping back over like, hey, how's it going?
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to be like physically, you know, entwined with him the whole time, but I do love a handhold. I like – one of the things that I really liked about the rower was that the way that our shoulders were, he could very easily have his arm around me while we walked.
Oh, okay.
And I really liked that. I liked being like fully side by side connected while walking down the street.
That's so funny. I think I – part, another reason I don't like handholding is because I use my hands to speak so much. I'm like, let go. I need to use these. These are my instruments. And and because I was just thinking that a fight that I had with the student was that when I would drive, he would reach across and hold like my right hand in his left hand. And I'd be like, I need this on the wheel. Let go. Like, I legit felt like panicked that I wouldn't be able to put my hand on the wheel if I needed to.
Yeah, I don't think I need to hold hands while driving.
Yeah, I didn't.
I like a hand on my leg.
Okay. I want like the freedom. Is this avoidant? I'm like, I want the freedom to run. Do not hold.
said that way. Yes, ma'am. Yes, it is.
Oh, hilarious. Anyway. So I found, I follow this great girl on Instagram. Her handle is My Love Thinks, and she's a relationship therapist actually in California. And she posted like a really cute Instagram carousel about like what to do for your partner that is X love language for Valentine's Day. And I was just thinking, what perfect timing. And so I was like thinking I could ask you if you like the gifts ones. Stuff perfect. Like that. Okay, great. I actually like, so a lot of these I think are lovely. I'm going to put that out there, right? Even though like gifts is low for me, I think this would be great. So like one of them is buying them something they wouldn't buy themselves. Of course, a fucking delight. We've sort of talked about this. Buy them a gift that shows them how deeply you know them.
Mm-hmm.
This is a cute one that we have not talked about yet. Several small gifts to give them throughout the day. Would you like that?
I love that one, and I think that that exemplifies that receiving gifts is not necessarily materialistic.
Mm-hmm.
That it can be about – because I actually think that several small gifts for me as a receiving gifter,
mm-hmm.
that has a much larger impact than one extremely extravagant gift.
Yeah.
And like an example of that, I got my receiving gifts love language very honestly from my family. And my grandmother – my mom was growing up. My mom's family immigrated here from Norway. They did not have very much money when she was growing up. And so my grandmother used to wrap every single little piece of every toy separately, including like if something came with batteries. She would wrap each battery individually.
Wow, that would make me crazy.
So that the kids would have more stuff to open on Christmas, even though they were only getting, you know, the one toy or whatever it was.
That's
and so I think
cute.
That's an example of this, like several smaller things that, you know, the whole is greater than the sum of the parts kind of thing.
Yeah.
I love that idea though. Do not though, I want to say, do not withhold gifts purposefully to then have greater impact.
Yes.
Please don't do that.
Story. We should retell that when we do our like Origins 2.0.
When I do the Oyster Origin story, that story will absolutely be told.
For sure. Also on our gaslighting special. Yes. Not Valentine's Day themed.
No, but we will do a gaslighting special soon and I will talk all about that.
Let's get through the physical touch ones because I can't.
Okay, I'll read these to you. She calls it affectionate touch. That's interesting.
Yeah. Which I actually think is smart because like we were saying, if you're taking sex out of the original, then you should rebrand it.
Yeah. Except the first one is initiating sex.
Yeah. Which I get. Like, I think that like if somebody's primary love language is physical touch and they are constantly initiating, that can get hard. I get that. And so that's why I get why then this would feel really good to somebody. Yes. Okay.
Totally agreed. Buying lingerie or something to change up your sexual routine.
A Valentine's Day classic.
But that sounds like something I don't.
That's a little gifty.
But I'm actually thinking about it like I would maybe buy lingerie for myself to wear to change up our sexual routine versus advocating for a man to buy a woman lingerie.
Oh, I'm picturing this as like my male partner receives love by physical touch. So like, I like the lingerie for me. I'll want that for myself. And then it will also enhance.
Yeah. Well, then it's not gifty because like it's yours, you know?
Right. Yeah. But like, there's like this weird condition precedent to the physical touch, right? That you're doing this like act first, whatever. It doesn't matter. Massage.
Do you like a foot massage? I love a foot massage.
Yeah, there you go.
Do you not?
No, I hate feet.
Just put you in a fucking bubble.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Do I just like not like limbs or like appendages? I don't like foot, feet, or hands.
That's how it's seeming to me, yes.
Great.
Yeah, I love a foot massage. That's one of my – I don't like giving them, though, so it's a little tricky. Well,
men's feet are disgusting. Okay.
I agreed, but it's tough to be like, yeah, I want you to give me a foot massage, but like, fuck no, I'm not giving you one. Like, that's rude.
That, yeah, that's tough.
I love this one. Making an effort to touch them when you walk by them throughout the day.
Yeah, that's what I mean by like a physical check-in.
Yes, I love that. Something that I really like about cooking with somebody is exactly that. Like, you're both in the kitchen, you're both cooking, and then like as you're kind of like walking by each other, maybe like, you know, I'm going to grab an ingredient or he's going to the fridge, and you kind of like squeeze my waist as you walk by, or like I'll like kiss him on the cheek as I'm like walking by the stove because he's stirring something. Like, I'm getting excited just thinking about that scene with an imaginary person.
Oh my God, that's cute. Okay. So a couple acts of service. Surprising them with doing a project around the house that they've always wished was done.
Like your light bulb.
Yes, exactly. Oh, this is like a good – this is a good Valentine's Day one.
Yeah, being their butler for a day.
Because it like feels extra.
It does. It feels like an actual gift because like – and I don't mean to say that it overlaps with receiving gifts. I more so mean like it feels like a special thing that you're doing for Valentine's Day.
Exactly. Like I feel like you could present to somebody like on like a note card or something like, I am your butler for the day.
Yeah. On like a silver platter or something.
Yeah. That'd be so cute with a cloche. Okay.
That'd be so fun.
Taking over the duties that they typically do for a day. Oh my God. I would love that.
This is the thing that stresses me out.
Oh, wow.
Depends on what the duties are. Are you good at the duties?
It might not be. That's the thing, though. Like, it's okay to accept, like, not, like, think about, I think about this a lot with kids, right? Where, like, an average husband, right, might not be as good as the average mother as putting on a diaper, right? But sometimes you just have to live, like, my friend's child has come out and, like, the duct tape is involved. And it's like, you just have to be okay with that. It's fine.
That absolutely, absolutely. But I'm seeing this from a lens of like, not my child's diapers, but like of my partner. This is why acts of service is so low for me.
Yeah.
I'm seeing it as like my partner currently in my current life taking over the duties that I typically do for a day. I see no value in that. But that's why acts of service is low.
I know. I just think it, like, to me, it gets a little bit at like the praising near misses thing where it's like, I think I don't know.
I'm not saying I wouldn't thank them for it and I would make them feel shitty. I'm just saying if you're choosing from a carousel post of ways that you could make me happy, don't pick this one.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
That's what I mean.
Okay. Quality time. Hit me.
Quality time. Planning a date that's exactly what they would want.
I want it. We had this conversation about my birthday.
Who would say no? It's phrased planning a date that's exactly what they would want.
Yeah, that's true. Like, that's a winner.
Like, oh yeah, do that. That sounds great. Spending Valentine's Day with no phones and just being together.
I think that sounds very nice. That is incredibly unrealistic for my life. And so I think if somebody actually asked me for that, I would be like, that I can't do that. Like that is setting me up for failure.
Yeah. I think that sounds rough.
Yeah.
Doing a totally new activity together. Think adventure.
I would be very into this. And I'm actually, it's funny that this comes up because I am trying to implement this a little bit more. Cause like I've had guys suggest dates that are a little out of my comfort zone, like paddleboarding or like axe throwing and stuff like that. And I get so locked into like, oh, we just have to meet for like drinks or whatever. I'm trying to say yes to stuff like that more.
Yeah. I once went on the date that I've done that was the most like that is I went bowling with a guy on a first date.
Oh yeah.
And it was great. I didn't want to see him again. He was perfectly nice, but just not a second date guy for me. But what other times when people have suggested things, it's felt like stuff that's going to be too much of a commitment.
See, that's where I'm like, oh God, we have to like go all the way to the marina and then we're going to like fucking row out on our paddle boards. What, you know, it does stress me out a little bit. That's partially why.
paddleboarding is a big, like, axe throwing is fine. Whatever. You show up to a place, you do an hour. Like, what do you book? That you probably book those things by the hour.
Yeah.
At most. The end of the hour, if you're not having a good time.
I don't think I could throw an axe for an hour. I'd get fucking exhausted. I just did an axe throwing motion. Everybody.
I saw that. Yeah. Have you done it before?
I know you saw it.
Have you done axe throwing before?
No.
I'm really good at it.
Oh, fuck yeah. Okay, so these are interesting to me because these make me cringe. Writing a poem for your significant other.
Oh, I know that words of affirmation is my jam, but this does sound cringe.
Because I think, like, you have to be really good at it, is the thing.
That's the problem. Also, are you reading it to me?
Oh, God. Oh, God. It's like, we were like talking about this on the Discord channel, the Too Hot to Handle show. There's a guy who,
where
like,
he sang to her.
It was so fucking cringe.
Similarly, actually, I'm watching. Are you watching the current season of 90 Day Fiancé before the 90 days?
Yeah, but I'm several episodes behind.
Okay. I will say this without any spoilers.
It's fine. This show is not ruined by spoilers.
That's true. First of all, this season is amazing.
Yeah, it is wild.
Ben, the like older guy who is dating the Peruvian woman who probably doesn't exist.
Correct. Yes.
He sends her a poem via whatever messenger service that they use and like reads it aloud for the camera. And I had physical discomfort.
Yep. Yep. Where was the anxiety, Allie? Where did it touch you?
Oh, it was all the whole body, everywhere. I almost turned it off.
Yeah. Okay. But the others are not so bad. Making your significant other a card that talks about the reasons you love them.
I love that. That's
I do.
So sweet.
I like that too. I will say, because like I've said, PowerPoint was very good with his words. He wrote me some very good cards that I no longer have.
Yeah. I haven't really dated anybody that's like really good at that.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. ASV did. I almost used his real name just now. ASV did write me that one that I read on our live Patreon episode that was lovely, but that was, funnily enough, that was before we were actually dating, and he never wrote me another card after that.
Oh, that's really funny. He hooked you and then he was like, I'm done.
He's out. He maxed out on his cards.
And then we've talked about this one. Leaving sticky notes around the house with words of appreciation.
Love that.
Yeah. I also have – so I came across these TikToks in my algorithm just like – it was like ways to annoy someone who has this. We're running a little bit long, so I think I might just like do one – like we can like laugh about one of them and then we can just send people to them.
Perfect. I've also mentioned several things that would annoy me.
Yes, true. We've covered you. This is Eros Miranda, by the way. Have you come across this content?
I don't think so.
He's like a relationship coach type person, and so I was just curious.
I'll let you pick.
Okay. Let's do, should we keep just shitting on physical touch?
Great.
When you always have to be the one initiating physical intimacy.
Yeah.
So that one came up.
Yeah. We talked about that.
Oh, I bet this one would piss you off. When they're loving at home, but distant and cold when around a group.
Oh, yeah. Fuck that.
Yeah. That'd be really bad.
Oh, I would hate that.
Oh, I probably upset an ex. When they constantly reject your touch, hand holding, etc.
Oh, no. It literally was like you just throwing people's hands off of yours.
Yeah.
That there have been exes that have thought that about me. Yeah. But then I broke up with them shortly thereafter because I realized I was repulsed by their touch.
Oh, God. They always want to go out instead of staying in and cuddling.
Is that – that's physical touch, though? I would think that would annoy someone with quality time.
No, I mean, I can see how it would – like, if you're always sort of putting distance in your relationship. Like,
let's just
go, like, hang out with a group. Let's go. It's like, oh, but I would, like, that really makes like sense. To stay – yeah, I kind of get that.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Oh, and then being long distance.
Fuck that. Yeah. Makes sense. Wait, I really want to know what the receiving gifts ones are. Can we just do that one real quick?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
I also just like dancing to the music.
Oh my God, you didn't do a gifts.
What?
Yeah. It's quality time. There's quality time, acts of service, physical touch, and then it switches to things you'll enjoy.
Is he punking the receiving gifts people by not giving them the gift of his TikToks?
Oh, damn. That could be right.
That seems like Inception or something.
Oh, no. Yeah. I'm so sorry.
That's sad. All right. I'm going to have to go write a strongly worded letter.
Well, I'm sorry about that.
That's okay. I guess I won't find out what annoys me today.
I mean, this yeah. moment.
This has very much annoyed me.
Oh, very good. Well, this was really fun. I hope people like this. I felt like I laughed a lot. It was nice.
I did. Yeah, this was fun.
Yeah. Alrighty. Well, I'm going to go have dinner.
Okay. I am going to go have more pie that I ordered when I was sad on
Friday. Oh, I saw the pie. That looked really good.
Ugh, so good. I ordered 3 slices of pie and 2 pints of ice cream.
I fucking support that. What type of ice cream?
It was Van Leeuwen, which is like a thing here. So they don't have that many flavors, but it was honeycomb is my favorite flavor.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
By them. It's so fucking good. And then they have a seasonal one that was like a berry cheesecake.
Nice. I like they're in LA as well. I like their mint is very fresh. It's like a true mint.
I don't think I've had their mint.
Oh, it's a mint. I think it's a mint chip. It's
very good. Yeah, I like their salted caramel, but they don't always have it and they didn't have it.
Bummer.
So...
Well, enjoy those leftovers.
Oh, thanks. Talk to you soon.
Bye.